Jaya Nityananda,
Jaya Jaya Nityananda,
Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda,
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya,
Jaya Nityananda,
Jaya Advaita Chandra,
Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda,
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, starting from the Adi Lila, chapter 5th, text 22.
Chintamani prakarasatma sukalpa vriksha laksha vriteshu surabhira vipalayantam lakshmi sahasat satasambrahma sevyamanam Govindamadipurusham tamaham vachami.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires, in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. This purport was written by His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is a verse from Brahma Samhita 5.29. This description of the abode of Krishna gives us definite information of the transcendental place where not only is life eternal, blissful and full of knowledge, but there are ample vegetables, milk, jewels and beautiful homes and gardens tended by lovely dancers who are all goddesses of fortune. Krishna Loka is the topmost planet in the spiritual sky, and below it are innumerable spheres, a description of which can be found in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the beginning of Lord Brahma's self-realization, he was shown a transcendental vision of the Vaikuntha spheres by the grace of Narayana. Later, by the grace of Krishna, he was shown a transcendental vision of Krishna Loka. This transcendental vision is like the reception of television from the moon via a mechanical system for receiving modulated waves, but it is achieved by penance and meditation within oneself. The Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, states that in Vaikuntha Loka, the material modes of nature, represented by the qualities of goodness, passion and ignorance, have no influence. In the material world, the highest qualitative manifestation is goodness, which is characterized by truthfulness, mental equilibrium, cleanliness, control of the senses, simplicity, essential knowledge, faith on God, faith in God, scientific knowledge, and so on. Nevertheless, all these qualities are mixed with passion and imperfection. But the qualities in Vaikuntha are a manifestation of God's internal potency, and therefore they are purely spiritual and transcendental, with no trace of material infection. No material planet, even Satyaloka, is comparable in quality to the spiritual planets, where the five inherent qualities of the material world, namely ignorance, misery, egoism, anger, and envy, are completely absent. In the material world, everything is a creation. Anything we can think of within our experience, including even our own bodies and minds, was created. This process of creation began with the life of Brahma, and the creative principle is prevalent over the material universe because of the quality of passion. But since the quality of passion is conspicuous by its absence in the Vaikuntha planets, nothing there is created. Everything there is eternally existent. And because there is no mode of ignorance, there is also no question of annihilation or destruction. In a material world, one may try to make everything permanent by developing the above-mentioned qualities of goodness. But because the goodness in the material world is mixed with passion and ignorance, nothing here can exist permanently, despite all the good plans of the best scientific brains. Therefore, in the material world, we have no experience of eternity, bliss, and fullness of knowledge. But in the spiritual world, because of the complete absence of the qualitative modes, everything is eternal, blissful, and cognizant. Everything can speak, everything can move, everything can hear, and everything can see in fully blessed existence for eternity. The situation being so, naturally, space and time in the forms of past, present, and future have no influence there. In the spiritual sky, there is no change because time has no influence. Consequently, the influence of Maya, the total external energy which induces us to become more and more materialistic and forget our relationship with God, is also absent there. The difference between time in the material world and time in the spiritual world is that time in the material world destroys, while time in the spiritual world builds up. It is not that in the spiritual world there is no time, because if there is no time, then there is no sequence of action. But in material world, passing of time means destruction of everything we are, everything we have, while in the spiritual world it just allows Krishna having his pastimes with his devotees, and devotees between devotees. So time is also a spiritual energy which in its corrupted aspect in the material world does a different job than it does in the spiritual sky. If there is any questions, or you just interrupt me while I read, and we can while the discussion. You just say Hari Bol, I'll give you the word. A spiritual spark, so the beams emanating from the transcendental body of the Lord, we are permanently related with Him and equal to Him in quality. The material energy, we are not equal to Krishna. We are equal to Him in quality. Just like the drop of the ocean is equal to the ocean, but in quality. If you analyze any drop of the ocean, you find the same chemical composition. Then, respect to the single drop, but the drop is small and the ocean is big. So there are some philosophers which cannot accept the individual personality of God, and we reject this idea. God is God, and we are we. We are persons, and God is also a person. He is an absolute person, and we are relative to Him. Relative means it relates to something else, to exist. So we relate to the Supreme Personality of God for our existence, while the Supreme Personality of God doesn't need to relate to anybody else, because He's full in Himself. Everything needed for His existence or for His actions, for His pleasure, everything is inside Himself. We need something in the external, in the spiritual world or in the material world. That's why we are said to be relative to something else. Absolute means is full in itself, doesn't need anything else external to Him. So this concept of personal, impersonal, is something that Srila Prabhupada talks a lot in his books. And since he speaks a lot, means it is important. The material energy is a covering of the spiritual spark, but in absence of that material covering, the living beings in Vaikuntha Loka are never forgetful of their identities. They are eternally cognizant in their relationship with God, in their constitutional position, or rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord. This purport is a masterpiece of philosophy. It goes on for pages and pages of nectar. It's like a book in itself, just this purport. Because they constantly engage in transcendental service of the Lord, it is natural to conclude that their senses are also transcendental, for one cannot serve the Lord with material senses. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka do not possess material senses with which to lord it over material nature. So we learn here that there are two worlds, the spiritual world and the material world. Both energies come from the same source, which is God. Just like electricity is one, but if you plug in a stove, you have heat. If you plug in a fridge, you have cold. You have two different things, opposite things, but the energy is the same. So the energy of the Lord is one, but it becomes many depending from the necessity he has in creating different worlds or different type of living beings. Material energy and spiritual energy are opposite in many senses. For instance, the material energy is eternal, and the spiritual energy is also eternal. The difference is that the forms, and when I say forms, I don't mean only the physical forms of objects or persons, but everything happening in the spiritual world, they are all eternal, while the forms in the material world are temporary. So we have two eternal energies, but they function differently. While in the spiritual world there is eternal construction of relationships and bodies and talks and everything happening there, it doesn't decay. In this material world, we are sure that everything we have, everything we are, since it has a beginning, it must have an end. So this is a difference, a substantial difference between spiritual world and material world. The proof that we are spirit soul is that we don't want anything that is happening in the material world. Just like if it would be natural for us to die, we won't defend ourselves. When we cross the street, we won't be watching continuously, you know, here and there. Why? Because it's just unnatural for us to die. It's unnatural for us to suffer. And if a car bumps us, then we are going to suffer or die. So we try to defend ourselves because suffering and death for us are unnatural. We don't want it. So, but we don't see, but we see that this material body suffers and dies. So why we don't want to suffer and we don't want to die? You know, if this body is made of suffering and death, then it would be natural for us to suffer and we won't lament in their presence. This is a proof, the many scientific proofs we can present to the people by saying, look, you know, it's exactly what we want, what we are in our intimacy, that it proves definitely that we are not this body, that we are spirit soul, because we don't want what is happening in the material world. We want something else. We want unreasonable things from the material point of view. we don't want to die, but this is unreasonable because everything, because everyone dies, and everything dies in the sense that it corrupts, it destroys, and so. So we can very easily show that we must be different from the body. We must be spirit soul. And Srila Prabhupada here, in his enormous wisdom, is teaching us that there are two different energies, spiritual and material. And the analysis of these two energies will bring us to the conclusion that we are different from the material, from the material energy, that we just live right now in the material energy, but we are not part of it. And this is very, very important, because if we establish this, our entire life changes. The entire life. If we really become convinced that we are not this body, then what are we doing in the material? Why do we work so much? Why do we get attached to family and friends and society and culture and all these things? Why do we do that? What is the reason? Then, by transcendental knowledge, we become detached. I just said that the spiritual master gives two things. One is the transcendental knowledge. By transcendental knowledge, you become detached from the material world because we become convinced. At the beginning, this knowledge is just epidermic. Is it an English word? Epidermic? Epidermic?
Epidermic.
Skin? Epidermic? It's just epidermic. It doesn't go inside our heart, our mind. We just know we are not this body, we repeat it, but it doesn't take roots in our mind, in our intelligence, so we don't, in our vision. While we speak, we are not this body, we look around for material forms to be attracted to. So that means that the knowledge is just epidermic. Then, by cultivation, by continuing cultivation of transcendental knowledge, then roots comes out from knowledge, and it becomes to go inside, it becomes strong, it becomes powerful. And then, by cultivation of transcendental knowledge, we become detached. We become detached both for intellectual conviction and by taste, because there is a taste in knowledge. You know, all advanced devotees, they have this experience of taste for thinking, philosophy, or Krishna's lilas. There's a taste, and every time they can think or speak or hear, they have a taste. It's beautiful. It's just really, really an internal experience. The second thing the spiritual master gives is devotional service. He allows to be served. Although it's very natural for any living being, for any jiva, individual soul, to be served. The spiritual master takes this role and accepts service to give opportunity to the devotees to serve. Because it is said in the Bhagavad Gita that to serve Krishna you have to be pure. You serve me, you give me just a leaf, very simple, some water, but you have to give it to me with love and devotion. That is in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says. Patram kushpam palanto yam yume bhaktya vayachate. Bhaktya, I want love and devotion. So what happens if you don't have devotion? If your heart is still impure, then how can you offer to Krishna? Then it's like a vicious circle. Without service, you cannot become pure, and if you are not pure, you cannot give devotion. It's a vicious circle. You don't get out of it. Then, since Krishna is very kind and merciful, he manifests himself in various ways as a spiritual master, And the spiritual master is the form of mercy, very kind. He's even more kind than Krishna himself, in the form of Nityananda Prabhu, of Balaram. Nityananda Prabhu is the original spiritual master. And he accepts any service, even if it is offered without purity. Doesn't matter how you do it, how much you do it, doesn't matter. Whatever you do is accepted. And then, by this type of serving, become purified, and one day will be able to serve Radha Krishna directly and personally. So, by transcendental knowledge, one becomes detached, and by devotional service, one gets kripa, the mercy, the devotion. Because the process of transcendental knowledge is a process by which one himself studies and then becomes advanced by his own energy, by his own capacity. But our own capacity is not enough to get in Krishna Loka. It's not enough. I cannot, by knowing the address of your house, I can get to your house, but I cannot enter. Because you are the owner. If I knock at your door and I say, look, you know, I came here, now you must let me in. You say, well, no, it's my house. I don't let you in. So how would you let me in on your house? By kindness. Please, Prabhu, would you be so kind to let me in your house? If I say arrogantly, you must let me because I know you, because I have transcendental knowledge, because I am like you, or maybe I'm richer than you. You say, okay, you can be whatever you want, I don't let you in. So the process of transcendental knowledge is not enough in itself. But at a certain point, we need the bhakti. The bhakti is achieved by kripa, by the mercy, kindness of his pure devotees, of Krishna's pure devotee. And when we have the recommendation, transcendental recommendation by pure devotee, especially our spiritual master and other devotees, then Krishna says, oh, this person is recommended, this person is trustworthy, I can let him in. Then he opens. Our process is not going to the spiritual world, or yes, it's the spiritual world, but until a certain point. From a certain point on, you need mercy, you need the devotion, and Krishna let you come in the spiritual abode. So these two processes of transcendental knowledge and devotional service must go on at the same time. They are like two rails, or the train, it's called rails, the train. If it's unbalanced, our travel is a little, you know, it's not tranquil. We need both at the same time. We need to know this philosophy, we have to deepen our understanding, we have to read from the first to the last page of all the Srila Prabhupada books, and when we finish, we begin again, because you'll see what experience is reading the same book over and over. Every time you read it, it seems a different book. I don't know if you have the same experience, but for me, it's like, it's unbelievable. I've been reading Prabhupada books since 39 years now. And every time I read it, he says, I never read this book. It's a different book. Maybe it's not a Prabhupada Gita. And it's a wonderful experience reading Prabhupada books. Really, we can understand how Srila Prabhupada is present in these books. And then we had to render service. Learning philosophy will give us a certain qualities, and by serving we develop other qualities. Are not the same things. Are not the same. we can have the experience of devotees reading more and serving less, the devil of qualities which are unbalanced in the spiritual life, or devotees doing a lot of service but not studying, then you see other defects, you see. Like in transcendental knowledge you become strong, you become really powerful. When you preach, when you speak, people become really, and then after some time you're not much attached to material things. You become like, you know, like the impersonalist. They become, they all take sannyas because, you know, the material attraction fades away by studying, by knowing the philosophy. But devotional service gives you something that cannot be found in transcendental knowledge, which are qualities absolutely necessary to relate with Krishna. If we study the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our nature, we see that we need service to realize. If we study only, at the end we end up thinking that we are the same of God. It's just, it comes out by itself. By devotional service, though, you realize, even if you read that the Supreme Personality of God is supreme and not supreme, still, by reading and reading and reading, something grows up in your heart that there is not so much difference between Krishna and yourself. But devotional service, especially in a transcendental movement like our movement is called, the whole society is built up and you become humble. You become humble. you cannot get it out of it. And the whole way how Srila Prabhupada set it up, this movement, you can develop the fundamental qualities for developing the qualities that are natural for an individual living entity. Like chanting Hare Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you are not humble, you cannot chant much. You chant a little, but after some time, you think, I got other things to do. You know? How could sages, pure devotees, chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day? Because they were humble. They weren't thinking, I got more important things to do. So, chanting Hare Krishna and humbleness are just two concomitant factors. Because Krishna, Radha, are the supreme objects of our meditation and chanting. And if you don't recognize that they are supreme, then you cannot chant very much. Because at the end, you, after some time, you prefer to go back to your life where you are the center of your life. While chanting, if you chant correctly, you understand and realize that they are at the center of your life. This acceptance of Radha Krishna being at the center of your life needs a certain mentality, a certain mood that can be found only, that can be developed only in a very humble state of mind. And then is the one of the reasons why Trinada Pisa Nishana Tarora Pisa Ishmana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Sada means always. And Krishna. Krishna is the object, the center of our lives, just like it is the center of life in the spiritual world. But if somebody does not want to accept that the Supreme Personality of God is at the center of life, then you cannot enjoy spiritual life in this world. What to speak about going back to the spiritual world? What are you going to do in the spiritual world if you don't accept the person who is at the center of the spiritual world? You just cannot go. You don't want to go. You don't feel the need to go because we have other needs. We think that we are the center, because we have the idea or the mentality that being at the center is better than not being at the center, in our mentality. But this is false. This is not correct. Actually, it's much more pleasant to be a devotee than to be devoted. That means to receive the devotion or the best. It's much more. Because actually, at the center of the spiritual world, it's not exactly Krishna, but it's bhakti. Even Krishna refers to bhakti, because bhakti is the best part of the personality of Krishna. A Krishna being at the center, receiving devotion continuously by others, he himself realizes that they are happier than me, Krishna thinks. Oh, these people are always in ecstasy. What they have to, you know, why they are so much in ecstasy? And of course, Krishna is always in ecstasy too, but there is something supreme. And that ecstasy is the reflection of bhakti, is the reflection of Radharani, the personality, the best aspect, the best part of Krishna, personality. So much, this is so true. The Krishna himself wants to become a devotee. Why? Because it's better to be a devotee than to be a person that we serve. He thinks like that. He thinks, well, you know, they enjoy more than me, so I want to enjoy more, and I want to become a devotee. And this is why. And there are different enjoyments in the spiritual world. The maximum enjoyment is Radha Krishna in the very intimate pastimes, sometimes being together, sometimes not being together. So they, there are special flavors in the pastimes of Radha Krishna, and these special flavors are what Krishna wants to enjoy. But if he keeps his position as a supreme personality of Godhead, cannot enjoy it. So then he thinks, I will become Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will become Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because I want to enjoy, I want to forget about my being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am there, but I want to forget it. Since he has the power to duplicate himself thousand times, millions of times, not only twice. Then he becomes another person and enjoys the special flavors in being Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much so that when the devotees, his devotees, were telling him, oh, you are the Supreme Personality, don't tell me that. You are disturbing me. Isn't it? You are disturbing me. Why you are bothering me so much? And sometimes, if you read, especially Chaitanya Bhagavata, you see that sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes the part of the Supreme Personality of God, but that is not he himself remembering the Supreme Personality of God. That is just a manifestation of ecstasy. There are other examples of devotees jumping on the altar or speaking like, I am the Supreme Personality of God, but it is not, that is something different. It is not taking the part of the Supreme Personality of God, but it's just ecstasy. So he was in ecstasy sometimes, behaving like Varaha, or sometimes like Nishinga, or Varaha, but he was just enjoying pastimes, remembering those pastimes as a devotee. And he divided his life in this world into two parts. First part is reaching out people and giving them the mercy. And the second part, now I gave you what you need. I gave you the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna. I gave you the Guru, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. He instructed his devotees how to continue his task of flooding this world with the Krishna consciousness. And then I said, now I have to do my own thing. Okay. Then he retired in Sri Jagannath Puri, because Lord Jagannath Swami was there, and he retired, and then he tasted pastimes which are very intimate, within himself, Radha, who is Srimati Radharani, Krishna Radha. This is very, very, very elevated subject matter, which I have no idea what it is myself, so we should not talk too much about that. But the philosophical part is that Krishna descends in this material world to give us Krishna consciousness, and this is what we are doing here in this ISKCON movement, in our beautiful movement. Well, this is what I have, something that I understand from Srila Prabhupada's purpose. If there is anyone who wants to say something, make a question.
Yes, thank you for the class. You're mentioning how devotees have to execute devotional service on two different tracks. One is food service, or use of transcendental knowledge and doing service. And you're saying how if we just read the books, we kind of become impersonalist. We forget the beauty and doing devotional service. We forget part of our. And can you give a couple examples of that? I mean, say for example, like, you know what studying the books is like. You read all the different Bhagavad Gita. What are examples of service you're talking about? You mentioned that.
I'm not sure if I understood your question. What I meant is not that if we read Prabhupada books we become impersonalists, it's not exactly what I said.
Oh, sorry.
Or what I meant, or maybe I said that but I didn't mean that. What I meant was that the process of studying in itself entails certain mechanism, certain internal mechanism, which by developing knowledge, you develop strength, mental strength, you develop certain powers, let's say, that may bring you to becoming different from what a devotee should be. So, for instance, someone who is very strong intellectually may seem to be, you know, I'm very powerful, you know, I can control people, I can convince people, I can get people in the temple, I can make money, I can make new devotees, you see? And this mentality may bring you to think that I am powerful. Okay? Who is powerful? Krishna is powerful. So it is something, it's a mental, it's an internal mechanism that may bring you to equate yourself with the Supreme Personality of God.
Okay, that's what you said, I understand now.
While devotional service with studies, because just devotional service without the studies, then it purifies you. It's not that it doesn't purify you, but you are not conscious of what you do or why you do it. So the danger of getting it sentimental or getting it in the wrong way or doing the wrong things at the wrong time, serving the wrong person, taking the wrong spiritual master, or behaving wrongly, etc., etc., because the danger is there. So knowledge and devotional service must go on at the same time, so our spiritual life is healthy. And there is a lot of things to say, but you know, we do. Yes.
Thank you again for a nice class. Two things. One, that, you know, when I hear you speaking, I want to become determined to, you know, control my senses and to avoid, you know, materialistic pursuit and to embrace devotional service fully. So my question really is, how do I cultivate that determination to the point where I'm just fully engaged in spiritual life without, you know, giving the energy to materialistic pursuit or to sense gratification?
Unfortunately, there is no magic formula that, well, in theory there is. We can become pure devotees in 6 months like Guru Maharaj. But I remember when we were very young devotees. I became a devotee, I was 18, I was a kid.
And all of our little brothers, they were equally, maybe 20, 25. And we were very determined. During Prabhupada times, we were so determined. And we used to get up at 2 o'clock in the night, every day. It was not, we would never miss the moon or night, never, ever. And 16 rounds before Mangalarti, which because we had service to do, you know, we had to go in Sankirtan, we couldn't, you know, change the rounds during the day, never. So then we saw that maybe we were taking a little more time than 6 months, you know. Dhruva Maharaj was a little bit more advanced than us. So how do we become determined? By doing devotional service, falling down, doing a lot of mistakes, and then getting up, and falling down again, and then getting up again, year by year by year, just keep going. Doesn't matter what happens. If you are happy, if you are unhappy, if you do it right, if you do it wrong, if the devotees are satisfied with you, if they criticize you, up to the point of crying and humiliation, every, you know, you can't imagine, I don't know how many years you have been a devotee, it's a lot, but again, I know, if you stick to this movement, then you are going to be, you know, you are going to get the sauce. And this is what we need, because the purification process is a complex mechanism. It's not simple. It's not that you just go in a place, you chant, and you become purified. Well, it could be, it should be that way, but it just doesn't work. Most of the time, 99.9% of the cases, it just doesn't work that way. There's so much work to do, so much contamination to purify. A certain type of contamination need a very, very special work. And if we look behind from the stage we are in, especially in our spiritual life, we look behind us and we think, oh my God, you know, how expert Krishna and Prabhupada were in my life, how they arranged. While I was going through, I was thinking, why Krishna is treating me that way? It's so rude, you know. What did they do so bad to be treated in this way? And then you understand that was exactly what you needed to cure a specific disease. We have many diseases. Then one day, when we become pure finally, then we see that Krishna was just perfect with us. He did everything, the right thing, at the right time, in the right way. That if we surrender to him, then he will act. If we try to resist, then it will take more time. Just like if we go to a doctor, and the doctor gives us a very bitter medicine. Sometimes we take it, sometimes we don't, because we don't like it. But if we surrender, it may be bitter, it doesn't matter, but it works. It definitely works. Last question, then we close today's class, if we have any. Thank you very much.